Well, I want to thank God with all of my heart for having me here. You know, I was up on the mountain there yesterday praying, and I spent about 3 or maybe nearly almost 4 hours. And I walked, mostly, I don't know how far I walked, but I walked a long way. And I was up around the trees and the, you know, you see the little squirrels and you see the birds and the sheep and the fox and the, it's absolutely beautiful to see God's creation. And I'm looking down this morning and I see God's creation again, and it's absolutely beautiful the way you've created man. Where he created the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in it and on it. And the way he created me so good looking. So I thank God for with all of my heart for God saving me. And I thank God. And the greatest gift that anybody could ever give anybody is to give your heart to Jesus. To surrender your whole life. That would be the best present that God ever could get. Offer you this morning for Christmas. Isn't it beautiful to give your whole life over to God from this night forward, from this day forward? That is, say, Lord, I'm going to surrender my whole life to you. I'm going to let you take control of my life. And I'm going to give you all the sins. And from the original sin in the Garden of Eden, I'm going to surrender it all over to you right now. And I praise God for that. And I praise God over 22 years ago. I give my heart to the Lord. And I thank God with all of my heart because I was on a party going to hell before I was saved. I mean that with all of my heart. But I would just like to pray before God, Father. Dear Lord God, Almighty Father, I thank you from the depths of my heart for this gathering. And Lord, for everyone that comes through the door, including ourselves, Lord, that neither one of us go out the same as we come in. That we go out knowing that we've heard from you this morning. And Lord, I can't even breathe oxygen without you. I cannot even live without you. And Lord, I'm asking you from the depths of my heart for you to take completely control of flesh here. For you, Lord, to use me as your vessel. That when I do open my mouth, Lord, that your words will come forward. I'm asking you in Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, I ask you to grant this prayer. I do ask you for seeds to be planted here this morning. I do ask you for souls to be saved here this morning. I do ask you for healing and miracles to be done here this morning. And I do ask you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that the captives will be set free completely this morning. That they'll go out with a spring in their step, knowing that they have heard from you. In Jesus' name, Holy Spirit, I ask you to grant this prayer. Amen. Thank God. Now, I preach all over the country. And different parts of the world, and I've led thousands and thousands of souls to Christ all over the world. And I praise God with all of my heart that I surrender my life to Christ. You know, many times I often cried and said, God, how can you use me? Because if you only knew me the way before I was saved, I was a madman. I was a religious fanatic. I would have done anything more or less for the religion that I had one time ago. And I taught and led to believe that a religion could get you to heaven. And I was led to believe that God was 1,000,000 miles away from me. I'll never forget, I seen the rocket going up to the moon in 1967. And the spacemen getting out of the rocket and to the moon. And they're walking around the moon. And I stupid drunk in a little caravan in Belfast. And my wife in England, and me partying around nightclubs. And I crept in the door of a caravan, a little touring caravan, is just about that height off of the floor, and fell in the door of the caravan. And no electric, but it had a battery television. The television was about the size of that pulpit there. I'm at that table, massive, with a little screen that size. No software back in them days. And I remember I turned down the television for to get light up the caravan, I start getting hungry. And I remember I went to the cupboard, my wife has gone a fortnight, and you know when you get drunk, you get hungry. And I went to try and find some sort of food, because I knew well, a certain hour in Belfast, after that time you went out, you could be killed, shot, or murdered, or blew up during the Troubles. They didn't care who you were, as long as you were in a certain area, bang. And we know that. But I knew I couldn't go to a restaurant. I knew there'd be no place open at the hour I walked, that I would come home. But I went to the cupboard with the light of the television and I found two pieces of bread. And they're like the tiles of a roof. They were like that. They were that hard because my wife was gone a fortnight. And I don't know what I put in between the bread. It could be a tea towel for all I know. But I had to soak the bread before I ate it. It was that hard. But I remember drunk lying on the couch. And I remember watching the news on the television. And I seen the rocket going up to the moon. And I'll never forget, I said, Si, I'd love to be on that rocket to get close to God. You see, religion made me to believe that God was a million miles away. And today I realize that God is only one prayer away from anybody. That's how far God is away from anybody. And I know, I mean this with all of my heart, I love God with all of my heart. The last breath in my body, I want to be telling somebody about Jesus. Because I know the way I used to be. I know the way I used to be before I was saved. I had a lot of hate and I had a lot of anger and a lot of hurt. I was an addiction of medication for 17 years with a bad back. I couldn't bend even. And now I can move. And then I thought when you come saved and you get a born again Christian, you couldn't budge. You were like a hinge on a door creaking. And now I know, I can look. I'm saved, look. I'm not going around like that there. I'm set free. But I thank God that I keep my eyes on Jesus, not on the man. Man can fall, but God will never leave you, never forsake you. He's the best friend that anybody ever could have. And there I was, nightlife on it, drinking and doping and partying, carloads of women from one nightclub to another club, passing my own house on the main road that time, and my wife lying in bed for me to come home. And come to an army checkpoint, oh Lord, I'll never drink again, I'll never do anything wrong again if you get me through this checkpoint. Because I knew if I get arrested, my wife is going to find out what I'm doing. You see, I used God like a spear wheel before I was saved. Gimme, gimme, gimme. But now I want to give him everything that I can possibly give him. I want to give it to him. But then you come to the checkpoint, and then the red torch, and they call two or three cars past, and you be the one or two to get past. You just pleaded with God that you'll never drink again, you'll never do anything wrong again, and the moment you get past, which club we're going to go to? You see, use God like a spare wheel. A lot of people right through this land is using God like a spare wheel. They never think about God till something goes wrong and there's a God alert. But you know when you have the Holy Spirit living within your heart, living in your inner being, you don't need something to think about God. He's there the whole time. He's in you the whole time. He's keeping you lit up the whole time. He's boosting you up the whole time. That you know who you are in Christ Jesus. That you're a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That you know that He shed His precious blood on that cross in Calvary for all. No matter what color our skin is, no matter what nationality, no matter what race, Jesus Christ died for all. And I'm redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb. I didn't have to work my way there. I didn't have to do penance and suffering all the way there. Because it's already paid on the cross. It's finished. All you got to do is ask Him to forgive you for your sins from your heart, not from your head. And that's, you feel the weight and the darkness and the pain and hurt and anger will move out of your system and joy will move in. And then you can go around with a smile in your face. That know that you have an insurance, a policy that will never run out. That you know when your time comes in this earth that you're going to wake up in heaven, not hell. Isn't it beautiful to have that insurance, to have that policy? That you know that you know. I witnessed to a lot of people. Recently, I was doing a meeting, and this man came down for prayer at the end, and I knew with all of my heart he wasn't saved. I said, "You're long saved," because it's ignorant to say, "Are you saved?" I said, "You're long saved yourself." "Oh, I'm saved all my life. I'm in such a church all my life." "But Si, when did you get saved?" "Well, I'm saved all my life." "So you have to be at a time that you know that you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior." "Si, I know a man accepted Jesus Christ at 4 years of age and now he's 87. "Si, you have to know at a time." "Well, I'm in such a church and I'm this church and this I'm not going to mention church. But he was so important that he was saved, he thought he was. Because his parent was saved. Because his grandfather was saved. Because his great-grandfather was saved. He thought it was all right with him. But Si, do you realize that between you and God, yourself, is a relationship between you and God? You have to do it yourself. And that man, he shivered even when he knew that his soul was in danger of going to hell. He thought he was all right because he was never taught it. He thought he was okay because he was in a certain religion, in a church that never preached the gospel. And that is sad for people to think that they're perfect and they don't want to avoid or move people or disturb them or hurt them or offend them in any way. They're in a little nest and they don't want to be shook or woke up. We need to tell the truth. And I thank God with all of my heart for this fellowship here. Because I've been in the prayer meeting out there and I could hear men praying from the heart, not from the head. And that blessed me when I hear tell of people saved and known who to pray to. One mediator between man and God is Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But I never knew nothing like this. I didn't know that. Driving cars, super drunk. Had a really good lot of friends back in them days. Spent tens of thousands of pounds nightlighting, flying even to London to parties. A madman I was used to be. And then I had the friends that just take me out of the pub and hold me in and put me behind the steering wheel of the car and pint the way home. Very good friends. The day I realized what sort of friends they were. Nobody should ever go near a vehicle with any alcohol whatsoever. As a matter of fact, we don't need alcohol. I'm off with drink. I wouldn't even have it. I wouldn't touch it. I wouldn't even hit a sweet with it. Not that I couldn't do it. But it's wrong. You can live and breathe without alcohol. Before I was saved, I thought I could not live without alcohol. I thought I had to be drunk before I could stand up and say something. And today I can say something because the Holy Spirit is here. Because it's not me. I couldn't do what I'm doing. It's only God, because I asked God to use me as his vessel. And that's what he's doing. He's using me as his vessel. He opens up doors. I don't ring people and say, well, can I preach in your church? No, because I wouldn't do that, because then I know it's not the Holy Spirit. It's man involved. But when the Holy Spirit is involved, that God knows every person that comes through that door tonight, this morning. And he knows every movement about you. And he has brought me here for the way that you can hear the truth, and the truth will set you free. I'm not saying the truth is not preaching this church. It certainly is. But I am an evangelist. And I love leading souls to Christ. But there I was in nightclubs, and I wouldn't go looking for a woman, because a woman would come to me back in them days, because being a gypsy, can you tell fortunes? Yes. I couldn't tell fortunes, but I could tell lies. And I would be telling all the filth and dirt of the day, and making laughs and jokes about hell. I thought hell was like hell's angels. You know them party, you know, years ago, remember they used to drive in around the restaurants and grab a woman and put her on the bike and away. I thought that was hell. That was hell. And thank God a lot of the hell angels are getting saved, praise God. I've been with some in America, mighty men and women of God now, going to churches and riding the bikes, going to churches and preaching the gospel. But I thought that was hell. And now I know hell is real. It's no laugh. It's no game. It's no joke. It's screaming and roaring and gnashing of teeth forever. Forever. When you go through the gates of hell, it's not like going through the gates of a prison. You get time to get out. But when you go through the gates of hell, there is no out. It's screaming and roaring and gnashing of teeth forever. And now there's no game. It's not even a drop of water to put down your tongue in. Not one drop of water in it. There's no life in hell. It's death. And now I know heaven is not a cloud. I know heaven is a proper solid gold city, the new Jerusalem descending out of heaven from having the glory of God. Absolutely beautiful. Now I know there's no graveyards in heaven because there's no death. Now I know there's no hospitals in heaven because there's no sickness. And now I know, absent from the body, those of us are saved, present with the Lord, that we're going to get a heavenly body. I'm going to ask for a real nice body. Give me that good-looking one like the one I have now. It's absolutely beautiful to know that we're going to wake up in the streets where there's pure gold. And we're running down the streets. Isn't it beautiful to walk along the Crystal River, the banks of the Crystal River, and all fruit trees that produce fruit, all manner of fruit every month. Isn't it beautiful to know that we're going to live forever with peace, because God is peace. We're going to live forever with love, because God is love. Isn't it beautiful that there's no aches or pains? We're going to get a perfect body. That it's not going to get old. There's no wrinkles. There's no gray hair. We don't have to go to the chemist. It's going to be beautiful. I'm going to save a fortune in cosmetics anyway. But thank God for God's love. And there away I was like that there, and I knew nothing about the gospel whatsoever. I knew everything about religion. But I didn't know Jesus. I didn't know Jesus. A matter of you asked me anything about religion, I could have told you everything about religion. But I didn't know Jesus. Like a woman was a religious teacher, and I'd start telling her about Jesus. And she said, excuse me, you don't know who I am. I'm a religious teacher. Say, do you know Jesus? I know religion. I know all about the religion. I teach it in classes. Well, say, do you know Jesus? And she didn't know Jesus, and yet she could teach it. A lot of people behind pulpits right through this land and right through this world are preaching from the Bible, but they don't know Jesus. We need to be saved. We need to know that we're going to heaven. We need to know to bring the people with us. Not to have them rubbing like a load of cats and you're okay the way you are. You're all right. You're a good person. You've done good works and good deeds, in other words. They're like 50 rags in the eyes of God if you're putting them before Christ. We need to put Christ first. We need to surrender our whole life to God. But that's the way it was. I'm the eldest of 18 children, 13 boys and 5 girls. And I often trying to figure out, how did my mother and father have so many children? And then I realized my father done a lot of hunting. He'd rabbit with rabbit for breakfast, rabbit for dinner, rabbit, rabbit, rabbit. So it got into his blood. So that's how we had so many children. And then I got married then, and I got my wife eating rabbits, and we had triplets and twins. We end up with 7 children. Say, no more rabbits. Chinese food from now on. Thank God for the rabbit. I went to the pet shop to get some food for my animals the other day, and I seen the rabbit, and I started thinking about my parents. And I thank God for my parents, because they worked all their life for the children. We never needed for anything. We always had clothes, we always had shoes, we always had food in our belly. I remember years ago, and what you're going to let the Holy Spirit take control here. I remember years ago, I was reared up in England. We used to travel about in caravans in England. And we come back here in 1967 for 3 months work and holiday. And the 3 months is not up yet. And my wife is not a traveler. She's not a gypsy. She's one of yous. And thank God for her. We've been blessed mighty. And we're married decades. And a marriage is like a car. If you don't look after it and keep maintained it, it'll end up a wreck. And the most important part of any marriage, we have to forgive at both sides. There's no issue of one forgiven and the other doesn't. Don't. And what the devil is having today, he's having a field day with marriages right through this land. He's tearing families apart. Good families apart. I mean that with all of my heart, and the children's hurting. And they're going on with different men or different women. And downloading women. That is sad. What about your children in another 10 or 20 years? Where are you going to be in another 10 or 20 years? You'll end up with no family. You'll end up very lonely people. So we need to be together. All the more, we've got to fight for our marriages. We've got to think together, no matter how hard it is. We have to forgive. Forget about your pride. Forgive. The devil is having a field day right through this whole world with marriage. No matter what country you're preaching, there's exactly the same thing is happening. All over the world. And I thank God for our marriage. If I didn't fight for my marriage, we wouldn't be together. I often said, Simon, when the children grow up, I'm ditching her. I'm leaving her. And I thank God for her. No matter what happens, she's my wife. You know, and I love her. And thank God she's not here to hear me saying that. And another thing, I never ever lifted my hand to my wife in my life, and I mean that with all of my heart. Because when you marry somebody, you marry for love. You don't marry to make a punch ball out of them. Because they have feelings like anybody else. They're a human being. You marry for love. And anyway, I couldn't lift my hand to my wife anyway. She's a big woman. I wouldn't be here today. But anyway, that's the way I used to be. Nightlife and the disco and it. And how it all happened in my life. A younger brother went away, hitched his caravan on when we come back here, way back years ago. And he pulled back over to England. And he pulled into a gypsy camp in the outskirts of London. And there's about 50 gypsy people camped in this big field. And he didn't know the people, because there's all different types of gypsy people. We don't know. You don't know your some house estates and different places. It's exactly the same as gypsy people. People think when one do wrong, blame them all. We're all different. There's some business people, some of the richest men in England is gypsy people, owns the biggest properties and the biggest factories and all different types of things. Gypsy people own them. You know, and we're all different people. And it just depends on what way you're brought up. The same as anybody. We're human at the end of the day. And God loves everybody. But anyway, there the way I was, nightlife and a disco and a house party in club in Dublin, and a younger brother of mine hitched his caravan on, pulled into this gypsy field in the outskirts of London in a camp. And he pulled his caravan away to one side because he didn't know the people. He wanted to get to know them before he pulled to get in with them. So he walked that evening, they had the fire lighting, and he thought they were having a party and a whole crowd around the fire. So he walked over maybe about 200 or 300 yards away from them. And when he got to the fire, they start picking up guitars and they start playing the guitars. And then my brother thought they were going to start singing about Tom Jones or Elvis. But they didn't. They start singing about Jesus. And my brother couldn't believe that full-grown people, and he looked around, there was no alcohol. He couldn't believe, he thought they were all mad. And they start singing about Jesus. And then when they finished singing the gospel, singing praises, then they picked up the Bible. The pastor picked up the Bible and he started preaching the Word of God. And my brother, he was going to back away. He thought it was a cult, in other words. He never had this before in his life. And then when the pastor, he had to stay there because he was seen. And then the pastor opened the Bible and he started preaching the gospel and telling people that they must be born again in John chapter 3, that no one would see the kingdom of God unless they're born again. So my brother never heard this before in his life. And anyway, the pastor came to him and he opened up the Bible and he started telling my brother about Jesus. Excuse me, he said, we have our religion. And the pastor said, I'm not talking about religion, I'm talking about a relationship. My brother wasn't having it. He thought it was a cult. And he went back and the next day he went looking for a Bible. We never had a Bible in our life, and I mean this with all of my heart. In our home, we never ever had a Bible in our lives, and I mean this with all of my heart. Never had the Word of God. Didn't know nothing about it. Even by the color of the book, we thought it would be different words in it. We didn't have it. We never had the Bible. And yet we're religious people, and we never had the Bible. We thought you couldn't have the Bible. We were led to keep away from the Bible. I mean that with all of my heart. I remember my mother had an uncle away back years ago in Manchester in the 50s. And he come out of prison, he come out with a Bible in his hand. And he started telling all his family about Jesus. And they all start laughing at him. Oh, that's sad, isn't it? Poor Paddy's gone religious mad. That's one of the worst madness in the world. He got mad. A sensible man going in, he come out a madman. You see, he went in around the briars and the thorns and choked him. And the day I realized he must have been saved, he come out telling the truth. But they made a laugh at him. But I thank God with all of my heart that my brother went looking for the Bible. And he went to a bookshop the next day and he asked for a Bible. And before he went, the pastor said, have you gone? He said, I know you're going to look for a Bible, he said. And he said, think of a man named John chopping down a tree, he said, the way you won't forget it. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Think about John chopping down a tree, the way he chopped a tree. That you must be born again. So he opened up the Bible at John chapter 3, and there it was, that no one would see the kingdom of God unless they're born again. And then my brother said, a new Bible. It must be a new religion. So it won't be on an old Bible. So he went to a car boot sale the next day. And some of you might know the car boot sales in England. I mean, there are massive, hundreds of cars sometimes. And he went looking for an old Bible. He wanted to prove that those gypsy men was wrong and the religion that we had one time ago, that was the only way to heaven. That's what we were told. If he wasn't in the religion that we were in, well, then you were going to hell. That's what we're teaching. But anyway, my brother said, now the new Bible, it won't be on an old Bible. So he went to the car boot sale. And of all the people in the car boot sale, the first person he went to, he started asking this woman, had she got a Bible, old Bibles? She said, what do you want a Bible for? And he started telling about those men, telling him about Jesus, that he must be born again. The woman just dropped everything that she was doing and put her hands up to God and started thanking God for bringing a lost soul to her. She must be praying that morning to do something for God. She grabbed my brother by the hand. She didn't sell books or Bibles. She walked right across the car boot sale field and right to her brother and sister in the Lord was selling books and Bibles and other stuff. He picked up a red one and a blue one and a black one and a green one and five Bibles in his testimony he bought. He took them home to his caravan. He wanted to prove those gypsy men was wrong. And he opened it up at John chapter 3, and here it was. In John chapter 3, beginning at verse 1, Jesus teaches Nicodemus. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs that you are doing if God were not with him." In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again." "How can a man be born when he's old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered and said, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born of water and flesh. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying. You must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You may hear the sound, but you cannot tell where it has come from or to where it is going. So how it is with everyone born of the Spirit." In other words, you will know that you're set free. It's absolutely beautiful. But now, my brother said, it's a Protestant Bible. So it won't be on a Catholic Bible. I'm not against Catholic people. I love Catholic people with all of my heart. I love Protestants with all of my heart. I love Hindus with all of my heart. I love Muslims with all of my heart. I love every person on this earth with all of my heart. But if they're in a lost place, we need to tell them to get into the Word of God and to be set free. We need to preach the gospel, the truth. But anyway, my brother, he said, now is a Protestant Bible. And he went to the priest's house. And he asked the priest and told him about those men telling him about that he must be born again. He said, when you were a little baby, when you were christened, you were born again. He doesn't say that in the Word of God here. You've got to be at an age that you must repent, and it's between you and God yourself. Not between you and religion and God. It's between you and God yourself. So then, my brother, the man was not going to take the Bible out. He asked, was it on the Catholic Bible? And he said it was. But he wasn't taking the Bible out. In other words, he had to come under the authority. So it was going to get heavy and he had to take the Bible out. So when he did take the Bible out, he did open it up in John chapter 3 that no one would see the kingdom of God unless they're born from above. Exactly the same thing. So then my brother knew that those men was not telling them lies. My brother was under conviction. That's why he done the searching. And then that evening he got saved. And then he run to a telephone box. Because there's no mobile phones, no cell phones back in them days. And I was the only one that had a landline in the house. And I had all designer clothes on me, just grand and happy, going out to the door. I think I had a date with someone that caused an argument with my wife to get away. And going out the door, and the telephone rung, and my daughter Eileen, one of the twins, said, "Daddy, your brother Q's on the phone." And I walked back in, and I lifted the phone. I thought he was going to talk about business, or talking about children or family. And say, "Well, say, how are you doing?" He said, "I'm a born-again Christian." Say, what you say? He said, "I'm a born-again Christian." I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "Get a Bible. Your soul is in danger of going to hell." And then I started thinking about my poor mother's uncle. Ah, my poor brother. Why did he go to England? If he had stayed in Ireland, would he have been all right? Then I start thinking about a hospital that I know that you can put jump leads in people and bring them back to the senses. I thought he was deathly blew a fuse. So what are you talking about? And then he started quoting John 14 to me in John chapter 3. I thought he deathly blew a fuse. And then I start thinking, he wouldn't let the phone down. He wouldn't stop telling me. No matter what I say, even if I want to ask about the children even. He wouldn't even talk. It was all about the gospel. I couldn't believe. I thought he deathly blew a fuse. I start thinking, I wonder could he get a end of a straitjacket and go over and bring him back and get him sorted out. And he kept quoting the Word of God. I was getting sick of him. So I looked at me watch, I was losing drinking time. So he's keeping me out of trouble. Yes. Well then, so he's okay. Here, Eileen, you speak to him. I got into the car and I went down to the nightclub. I knew some of my other family be there, my brothers. I'm going to tell him about our poor brothers that have blown a fuse in England. We need to go and get him back. And on the way down, I was trying to figure out, what does he mean by born again? You see, I didn't realize a seed entered in here. And I tried to figure out, a new woman was 7 stone weight, and she had sons and daughters 20 odd stone. How can they be born again? And I drive in the car. I don't drive fast, but the road goes quick underneath me sometimes. But anyway, on the way there, we should never drive fast anyway. Especially to keep to the speed limits. like I done this morning, that'd be really nice and good. Everybody knows my registration. But anyway, I could not believe what happened. And then I knew a woman is about 4'6", and she had a son close to the 7'6". So how could he be born again? I was trying to figure out, what does he mean? And then we put the top hat and all together. Our mother was dead. I think I'm mad. I thought he blew a fuse. And the day I realized that God had shown me so clearly what he means by each word. Our cars is outside there now, the bodies. I can see even cars out there, over across the road, even bodies, nobody in them. We're out of them. We're in here. There's no life on our bodies in our cars out there. We're in here. And when we leave here, when we get into our cars, then there's life in them. At the minute I see each one of you is alive, because some churches I went in are dead. But I see life in this place. And I know with all of my heart that each one of us have the soul, have the spirit. We're living in here. And now I know that we can't even breathe oxygen without God, because God gives us the very oxygen we breathe. We don't even own time, because God owns time. We've only alone the time. Neither one of us know the hour, the minute when the life is going to be taken from our bodies. Neither one of us. When our time is up in this earth, then God is going to take the life from each one of our bodies. Then our body is just a piece of meat, goes into the coffin, goes into the ground, and goes back into death, into dust. Now I know that an undertaker, a genuine undertaker, can take either one of us and put us alive in the coffin, because if he did, he'd be done for murder. So when the life is taken from the body, the body goes into the coffin, goes into the ground, and goes back into dust. Your life cannot win the coffin with the body as murder. So where do your life go? Your life is your soul, your spirit, which goes to God to be judged. And that's what Jesus said, must be born again. It must be born. He didn't say maybe or might. It is a must. It is a command from God himself that you must repent your sins unto Jesus. That you must be baptized through water and spirit. You must. You must be lit up, in other words, and know that you're going to wake up in heaven, not hell. I didn't know this. And then my brother kept coming back on the phone and coming back and coming back. And every night he was driving us around the bend. When my phone used to ring, I thought it was like a rat full of dog going to eat me. Tell him I'm not here, I'm gone off. And then about 6 months went by, and then he said he's coming back. And he started telling me about street fighters that I knew. Men that fought for thousands of pounds. And now they're not punching people no more. They have the Bible in their hand, and they're going around, and a different battle they're in. They're in a battle, a spiritual battle, telling people about Jesus. I couldn't believe it. I said, there's money involved here. There's a new way of making a living. So I hurry up and come over. I thought I wanted a piece of this pie, in other words. I could not believe that gypsy people would come all the way from England and bring the caravans over and bring the gospel over without getting paid. So there got to be money involved. And then they did come over, and they said they were coming into Cork, and they come into Cork and Galway and Dublin and Limerick and around the gypsy people and start preaching the gospel, and they finished up in Newry. And then when they come to Newry, they wanted to pull into my place, and I wouldn't let them pull in. But my brother had a big massive yard with a barn in it, about 70 feet long, and he let them pull into his yard. And then they asked my brother, could they clean out the barn and hold a mission? We didn't know what a mission was even. And they cleaned out the barn, and they're doing exactly what we're doing here this morning. They start holding the mission. And then they start going around with cars and vans taking people in. There was about 150 people in the barn every night of the mission for a week. My eldest son went over the first night and he got saved the first night. My daughter Eileen, one of the twins, I was walking out the door the following night out to the nightclub. My child come in meet me. She said, Daddy, I'm a born again Christian. She said, get out of my way, don't be so stupid. I went to the pub and I got drunk, so I ain't going over there. So I'm brainwashing my children. I'm going to find out what there's got to be money involved. But I didn't go special the next night to it. But I went around in a detour to the nightclub. And when I got to my brother's place, the yard was packed with cars. And I heard all this big music coming with this big shed that used to keep horses in it. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. I thought God couldn't be in a shed. I thought God had to be in a big fancy building with gold and big paintings and a load of idols in it. I didn't know this. But then I walked into the back door of the shed. In other words, they're not going to get me. And I walked in and I looked at people that I was reared up with in England. And some of them was alcoholics and some marriages broke up. and some families torn apart over arguing and fighting. And here they're not arguing and fighting no more. It's pub time. They're not in a pub. They're in a big shed. And then I see some women and men put their hands up to God and pleading with God to have mercy on the rest of their family's souls. Save them, Lord. Save them, Lord. I could not believe what I seen. And tears running down along some people's faces because they know the danger of hell. We haven't got to play no more. We haven't got time to play no more. We're all passing through, what you like it or not. It's a day coming, you're going to be taken to the face of this earth. No matter how important you think you are, no matter how much money you have, no matter how much property you have, no matter how many A-levels, no matter the degrees you have, and thank God for all this stuff, but you're going to be taken from it. You can't even bring the keys to your house, would you? You can't even bring a leaf up on one of your plants, would you? There's a day coming, you're going to be taken, but you need to know where you're going. But I seen this. And then I listened to the pastor preaching the word about 70 feet long. And when he finished the word, he come right down to me. I wanted to try and get away, but there was that many people around, I couldn't get out. And then he come down and he said, you know, he said, that God sent his one and only begotten son down in this earth to die for you. And you know, he said, when you die and go to God to be judged, God is going to say to you, what did you do for my son Jesus? And what are you going to say? I said, what do you mean? I thought he was getting cheeky with me. He said, what are you going to say? I never think about the spare wheel in my car until I get a puncture and a bad bend on a wet night. Then there's the spare wheel alert. I couldn't give that man an answer because I used God all my life. Give me, give me, give me, give me. I never gave him nothing because I didn't know him, you see. I couldn't. I just done that from my shoulders and I walked away from him. He said, I can lead you to the Lord right now if you want to be saved. No, say no. I had a whole lot of dates and a lot of other things to do. No, 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 no. It's not for me. It's not for me. I thought I couldn't earn my living by telling the truth. It's not for me. And they told me then they're going to pack up and go away to England. And then after a couple of weeks, then they're going to France to a big, massive convention. I'm going to shut up in a few minutes. A big, massive convention. Tens of thousands of Egyptian people are telling me. Comes every year for the last 70 years now. In a big airfield, I have to hold it in an airfield. I have photographs of it in the bag. Massive. Tens of thousands of people. I couldn't believe what they were telling me. And they were going there. And I was led by a man all my life before I was saved. I done everything that a man bowed down to a man, thought a man could take away my sins, thought a man could forgive me for my sins. Bring him book and put the sins into a confession box. And I that many sins, I left one book and full for next week in case he wouldn't forgive me. And then I pour a couple of big ones and I put a load of small ones on top of it, the way he wouldn't hear the big one. And then he would say to me, I give you absolution. And the day I realized absolution means forgiveness. And then he would say to go and say so many prayers for penance, and penance means suffering. I love praying to God. To him, not the lump of concrete. To him. And then the day I realized that I cannot feel your sins, or you cannot feel my sins, I cannot put my sins in a polythene bag and say, put them in a bin somewhere, because you can't feel them, because they're spiritually. And now I know with all of my heart that there's only the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that was shed on that cross can move that stain from your soul. Only by his blood that you can be redeemed. No other way into heaven, only through Jesus, because he's the way, the truth, and the life. I mean that with all of my heart. And I love you. And with all of my heart, I'm not against you in any way, just in case you are in different religions. I love you. That's why I'm here today, to tell you the truth. And the truth will set you free. Because I don't want to be a greedy Christian. I don't want to keep Jesus for myself, like a lot of Christian people through this land. They won't even whisper, Jesus love you. They won't even give you a lick of Jesus, like a child wouldn't give you a lick of an ice cream. They don't want to share him. But I don't want to ever be greedy. I want to tell everybody that I see, no matter what or who they are. I don't care who they are. I have to tell them about Jesus. Because their soul is in danger of going to hell. A lot of poor people have been fooled and brainwashed by religion. If the Bible is not open in your church, then you get out of it. If the man is not saved, if the driver don't know where he's going, then you need to get off of that bus. You need to get in. And I thank God for the driver in this place here to know where they're going. Know where they're going. Because the gospel is preached here. And I praise God, and there's freedom here. None of them men told me what to say here. Some people think he wanted to tell you what to say. That's not from God. When a man said that to me, I wouldn't even share. Because it would be going by man then. And I thank God I'm going by the Holy Spirit, because I'm led by the Holy Spirit. But that's, I didn't know this. And then they went away. I'm just going to close in a few minutes. And then went away then. and then they packed up and went away, and then I drive a lorry during the day. Some big wide loads, no, it's static caravans, 12 foot and 14 foot wide, maybe 40 odd feet long. And you know, when you're driving along the road, you have to be alert. You know, you've got to watch out every movement. The same as you're saved, you've got to watch out every movement that you do, that the devil is out there to get you if you're stupid enough to fall into the snares and traps. You've got to be alert. And there I was driving the lorry along the road, maybe some days you do 200 or 300 mile round trip maybe. And you watch that old white line and you do a lot of thinking in the lorry but yourself. And this word kept coming back to me. I could not believe what was happening to me. What did you do for my son Jesus? And my eyes start filling up with tears. My whole body started trembling. I didn't know what was wrong with me. I didn't know. And I got that tears, got that much, I hardly couldn't see the road even. I started looking for a wide place to pull in the load, pull the lorry in off the road. Because I thought I was blown a fuse, I tell you this way. I thought I was going mad. I didn't know what was wrong. And I pulled into the side of the road and I got a bit of a notebook out. I can't read and write. But I draw illustrations. That's why I have a load of illustrations here, look. I don't even use them because I've had a word to share here, but God is doing something different with me. I draw illustrations. And I had a book for my business back in them days. And I start drawing all the little illustrations. I got this book and I start, he gave me a good wife, he gave me good children, he gave me a good mother and father, good brothers and sisters. He gave me a good home, he gave me the clothes on my back, the food on my table. He gave me my health. I start writing all this. And I left one page, what did I do for him? And I had to put a big X on it because I'd done nothing for him. And for the first time in my life that I knew that I was a sinner, that I knew that my soul was in danger of going to hell. And I knew that those men was going to France. I didn't know I could have got down on my knees in the cab of that lorry that day and cried out from my heart and surrendered my life to God. But nobody told me what to do. And yet I was in business with Christian people through this land. They took my money, but they didn't tell me about Jesus. Greedy Christians, I call them today. And when I got saved, I started telling them, oh, we're saved 40 years, 10 years, 20 years. Why did you not tell me? Oh, we thought you'd be offended. They were worrying about this lump of meat, but they wasn't worried about my soul, born in hell forever. Forget about who they are. Tell them about Jesus, and they will appreciate you. They will thank you in the long run. They don't thank you from here, they'll thank you when they get there. You need to tell people about Jesus. But I start crying. I come back to my wife and my children, a different outlook completely when I come home. Now I know I'm a sinner. And I come back, and we never took a holiday in our life. And I mean, to this day, I never took a holiday in my life. Because I haven't time to take a holiday. Because too many people out there in danger going to hell. I mean that with all of my heart. And anyway, I come back that any holiday I ever took is take my wife over to Liverpool and live with her mother for a week or a fortnight. And then I'd be partying up and down in London, buy a couple of caravans and, look, keep her shut up, in other words. I'm doing business there and then ship them back over. And then sometimes I'd leave her over with her mother and I'd sell the stuff there and go back and buy more and ship them over. And that's the way we're working. But this particular day I come back and I told my wife we're going on a holiday. And she couldn't believe. She thought we're going to England again. Children even. No, sir, we're going to France. I thought I had to go to the man that said to me, what did you do for my son Jesus? I didn't know what to do, you see. And then I come back and told my wife and children we're going to France. You want to see the smiles on their faces. They couldn't believe. The dog ran in from the field and he covered over muck and he jumped on top of me. I had to bait him down. I couldn't bring him with the rabies. We had a big, massive caravan behind the house and we hitched down behind the Land Rover. And somebody told my wife about the water. You cannot drink water over in France. And when you tell my wife something, she takes it very seriously. She had buckets and cans and bottles everywhere. I put a half a ton of water in the caravan. And I would start arguing with her about the weight of the caravan, extra weight, bring it so far. We had 400 miles to drive into the Midlands of France when we got off at the ship at Calais. And I had a caravan 30 feet long, about 1 inch. And I hated this caravan. And anyway, we got in and got the chiller, booked the tickets, and away we headed right through England down to Dover and got off at Calais. And my wife was doing the navigation with the road map. Please don't ever let anybody else do it. And anyway, she had it all marked out where we're going, to this airfield, a big airfield, the Army Air Base. The government will give them the field every year, the air base to use. There's three different air bases we've been on in different parts of France. But anyway, when I got off, everything was going nicely. The sun was beaming down. And I drive up off of the docks. And up along this road, and I come to a roundabout, and I could not believe what I was seeing. I'd seen a load of people making a mistake. I went the wrong way, like a clock going the opposite way around. I went the normal way, but they were going the wrong way. And all I was getting fingers, and I getting beep beeps, and everything in the world, cars and lorries coming past me. I didn't know what happened. They told my wife about the water, but didn't tell me about the left-hand side of the road. I had a caravan that I hated. I turned around, and I definitely drove up a one-way street to get back down to the docks. And said, that's the worst I have ever heard in my life. So I've ever seen in my life, there's people going where they should be coming. Have you ever come on a lift? You've never get out of the country. So I couldn't believe it. So we may stay here till morning because we're getting late in the evening then. And we said, and so I get up early in the morning and follow a lorry or something to get the hang of the road. I got up about 6 o'clock or 5 o'clock in the morning. I told my wife to hurry up and get ready, get the children ready. The children were young at the time. And I went away watching the hovercrafts coming in. And then I come back in about a half an hour and my wife was still sleeping. And then I sung the right lullaby to her. We're in a foreign country. We have to drive 400 miles on the wrong side of the road with a caravan that I can't see nothing behind me. I hate it. I said, if you don't get out of bed, I'm going to hitch the caravan off and I'm going to leave it here in France and getting back on the ship. So I get out of bed. And I went away in a huff and I got a cup of coffee and I kissed the cup of coffee. It's all her fault. I come back in about an hour and thank God she was ready. Got into the car. The children used an argument over a book or something, and you could hear a pin drop in the car. They knew that I was ready to blow a fuse. Came to the same roundabout again. I'll never forget this. Say, what way? And she said that way, and I know with all my heart the north is that way. And we had to go south. Say, is the map upside down or what? No, she said, that's the way. And she used to be very stubborn, and I was worse. And me and her started hitting the head off each other in the game. Forgot about all the people around, all the horns beeping and everything. Forgot about the lads. I didn't care if the whole world opened up and swallowed me. The heat was killing me. I'm in a foreign country. I didn't know where I was going. I was driving a Land Rover with a caravan that I hate. Say, what was wrong? And I couldn't believe what was happening. Say, that's the north side, that's the south. No, she said, that's the way. Right side, right. I'm going to go your road. And Cyber goes 10,000 miles. I'm not going to turn off. Say to prove to you that it's wrong. I used to be very stubborn. She wouldn't give in. I still had taken off. I finally had broken up a car, I did. And end up in Belgium. I mean this with all of my heart. And me and her argued and fired plates at each other. I ate, you know, that French bread and cheese for about a week arguing. I'll never forget it. We went to Luxembourg. We went into Germany. And went up along the border of Germany, come back into over the border into France again, thank God. And the army come back in over the border, peace come into the caravan. Peace come in, and we start sleeping together and start kissing each other. Start apologizing to each other. Even if you got out in the road along France or in Germany, a big road that some fields is hundreds of acres, thousands of acres of fields, and you're out in the middle of nowhere, and you got out of the car, you won't stop bragging, and you got the children, I'm going to get a taxi. Say you have to go to a town to get a taxi. Say get in the children, you could be kidnapped or knocked down. I had to get out and get the children, put them in the car, and then she got back in again. Will you stop bragging? No, say you won't give in. And she wouldn't. And then I proved that she was wrong at the end. And still she wouldn't say she's sorry. But anyway, come back into Cali, or into Nancy, a big city. And I didn't want to go down a cul-de-sac. And I pulled in the side of the road, and this woman carrying a child. So I, excuse me, said, do you speak English? The woman didn't know what I said. And then I seen a man with a suit of clothes about 100 yards away from me. I waited then incoming. And I didn't realize this man must have waited all his life for somebody to say this one word to him. So I, excuse me, sir, said, do you speak English? He put his head in through the window of the car, and his two hands. Do I speak English? I speak German, Dutch, French, and he kept going all along. Say, sir, say, all I want to know is, say, what is the right way to the other route to Paris? And he put his head out and he got sad looking. He said, would you believe, sir, I'm completely, totally here, lost myself. But he said, go down there, turn right and left. And he said, you should be okay. I want to know what is the right way to the other route to Paris. If you get out to the other ways, there's no bother. And he walked on. I'm just going to put the motor into gear. Says the most stupid thing I've ever heard in my life. There's a lost man trying to tell me the way. You know what I mean? And so I said earlier on, a lot of lost men stand behind pulpits. They can't tell you the way. But then when I got to the convention, I could not believe what I seen. A city of caravans. I seen people praying in different groups around the caravans during the day. I seen people playing guitars and singing about Jesus. And I hitched off my caravan and had to drive around to find English registration cars. And when I found where the pastor's was, and some Irish people as well, and when the pastor seen me coming, he started crying because he knew I was a madman. Because they'd been praying for me and I didn't know this. And when I got there, I said, what do I do to be saved? Nobody told me what to do. And two pastors took me into a caravan and counseled me. And I got down on my knees over 20 odd years ago. And from the depths of my heart, I surrendered with both hands, not one hand. God wants us for you to surrender with your heart, not with your head. And I surrendered with my heart. And I put myself on that potter's wheel. And I mean this with all in my heart, that he started molding me and shaping me. Still to this day, he's doing it. And I start looking at my wife and my children in a different outlook. I start looking at mountains and trees that I never had time to look at before. And he took away, he cleansed my tongue from ugly words coming out. And he took this craving and the long and addiction of alcohol and medication out of my system completely. And completely healed my back. And healed our marriage. Healed our family. And healed my whole inner being. And then my wife got saved a year after. Then all my children got saved. And now we have a household salvation. And I thank God with all in my heart for knowing Jesus. Because it's only him can change a person. A man said to me recently, have I come all the way there, can you change me? Say, look, sir, I want to explain something to you. There's a whole big load to this, and we just couldn't this. Say, my wife couldn't change me. My mother couldn't change me. My father couldn't change me. And I couldn't change me. But when I realized that I needed to change, and I surrendered my whole life to God. So from that day forward, my life was changed. And so it's only God can change you. If you want peace, it's only God can give you peace. Only God. And I would like everybody to bow their head. I'm just going to say a salvation call. You know, prayer. But I do not want you to say this prayer because I'm telling you to say it. Do not say it because it doesn't work that way. Do not attempt to say this prayer if you want to go to hell. Do not say this prayer because you'll end up in heaven. Do not say this prayer. I'm telling you that. I'm making that clear with you. I don't want nobody thinking that I'm forcing you. Because it's between you and God. It doesn't matter if you're a Catholic or a Protestant or a Hindu or Muslim or Jew or Jehovah's Witness. You still need Jesus. There's only one God who created the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in it. There's one who gives you life. And there's one can set you free. And it's between you and God. And all I'm going to ask you to do is to say this simple little prayer and repeat the words after me. Because nobody did done this to me all them years. And my soul was in danger going to hell. So I don't want nobody's blood to be on my hands. I want to tell everybody about Jesus and give you an opportunity to either accept him or reject him. It's as simple as that. So if you want to be saved and want the angels rejoicing in heaven that your soul is saved, wanting to know that you know that you know that you're going to wake up in heaven and want to be a part of the body of Christ, because you cannot be a part of the body of Christ till you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. No pollution entered into heaven. No sin can enter into heaven. And we're all sinners. So just repeat those words unto Jesus. Forget about me. I cannot take away your sins. There's only the blood of Jesus between you and God can move that stain from your soul. And just say this prayer from your heart unto Jesus. Well, every eye is clouded, and every eye is closed and every head is bowed. I'm just going to say this prayer and just repeat those words unto Jesus. Oh Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner. And I ask you, Lord Jesus, to forgive me for my sins. And I open the door of my heart and I welcome you in. Come in, Lord Jesus. Come in to stay and change my life your way. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying for me. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving me. Well, every head is bowed and every eye closed. It's between you and God. I'm not going to embarrass you in any way because it's between you and God. All I'm going to ask you to do is just put your hand up to acknowledge that you've said that prayer for the first time, accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Want to wake up in heaven when your time comes. It could be 100 years or 50 years from now. And tomorrow's promised to nobody. The day is the day of salvation. We haven't time to let people go no more. We've got to tell them. So just put your hand up and pull it back down. That's all you've got to do. To acknowledge that you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It doesn't matter what age you are. Just put your hand up and pull it back down. That's all you've got to do. I'm not going to embarrass. Thank you, brother. Goodbye. Just put your hand up. This is no game. This is no joke. This is real. I mean this with all of my heart. This is real. You have an opportunity to hear right this morning. And to look what could be the best present that you ever could give Jesus is your sin. Give him your life. Either one more before I close. I know there's more people in this place. Other than that, I would not be here. Because God had me here for you. Just put your hand up and pull it back down. That's all I'm asking you to do. Thank you, sister. This is not a game. I mean this with all of my heart. I've seen umpteen different people lying in the coffin. The bodies is there, but they're gone. They're gone. Is there one more before it closes? In the name of Jesus, I plead with you from the depths of my heart that your soul is in danger going to hell. If you think that religion gets you there, you're making a big mistake. Religious fanatics crucified Jesus Christ on the cross. He took our sins and the sins of the world on himself on that cross. Didn't want Jesus in their marriage, didn't want him in their home, didn't want him in their city. Let's kill him. And that's what's happening with religion today. Man wants to take control. Is there one more before it closes? Just put your hand up and pull it back down. As simple as that. If you did, just acknowledge that you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If you said that prayer, I know some people wouldn't, don't put their hands up. If you said that prayer, meaning from your heart that you've done this, will you please confess it before this day is out? Even tell some of the pastors or the elders here in the church, or even come to me and tell me that you've done it. To confess it. Because now when you confess it, you'll feel weight lifting from you. I mean that with all of my heart, because I tell you in the Word of God, to confess it. Tell them that you're saved, that you're born. Thank you, brother. Thank you. Is there one more before close? For the last time, I plead with you with all of my heart. Is there one more? Wouldn't it be sad if you met and faced God and said, I don't even know you? I want to hear Jesus saying to me, come in, my good and Lord. Come in, my good and faithful servant. Them is the words I want to hear. I don't want to hear, I don't even know you. But well, I was a religious person. I'd done good works and good deeds. No, if you put my son first, then you would have come in. But you put the good works and good deeds, you thought you had to work your way. There's only one way to Christ, is through Jesus. One road. He's the road. He's the way. He's the key. He's the gate. There's no other way to heaven, only through Jesus. I'm just going to close. If you're in this meeting for the last time, I'm just going to ask you, if you didn't put your hand up already, there's three people already, for the last time, is there one more? I plead with you from the depths of my heart. So I'm going to leave it there. Dear God, Almighty Father, I thank you from the depths of my heart for our brothers, Lord, and our sister, Lord, that have accepted you this morning as their Lord and Savior. I'm asking you, Lord, and those that didn't put their hand up and then they accept you also as their Lord and Savior. I'm asking you to fill each one of them with your Holy Spirit. I'm asking you to protect each one of their bodies, spirits, minds, and souls. I'm asking you to keep each one steeped in your precious oil. Keep each one covered in your precious blood. And Lord, I'm asking you to make them mighty soldiers in your army. Make them mighty warriors. Make them mighty vessels for you, Lord. And I'm asking you from the depths of my heart to light them up for you. Set them on fire for you, God. And let them know what they've done this morning was the right thing to do. Is accepting you as their Lord and Savior. Amen. God bless every one of you. And thank you. Some of you want to come forward. I had a different completely. I wasn't going to share my testimony today, this morning. And I mean that. There's a whole lot of stuff I had to preach the gospel. But God turned it around. Because it's nice to know where somebody's coming from and where they're going. And I thank God. Please keep me and my wife and my family in prayer. We need book above. Because we're out there, we're snipers. We're hitting them. And he don't like it. So God bless everyone. And thank you very much. God bless you. Thank you.